Can God change your life in the next 30 minutes? I believe you're watching right now because God has something special for you. Join me for Jewish Voice and you'll discover how Bible prophecy is coming to pass before our very eyes and why you need to stand with Israel. You can play a role in God's end time plan. Find out how on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice, and thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Bernis. Today, we're going to look at a topic that, I think is fascinating, and many of you know this topic, but we're going to dive a little bit deeper than we have in the past, and that's the Jewishness of Jesus. Why does it matter that Jesus was Jewish? Why is it important to Christians? Well, in fact, it really is important. Ezra Benjamin is joining me again today as my co-host. He's also a Jewish believer in Jesus. Ezra, this is a topic that I think many of the people watching are compelled to learn more about.
Sure, to want to understand in more depth. And Jonathan, interestingly, if you bring up the Jewishness of Jesus to a Jewish friend, to a Jewish family member, often you're going to get one of two reactions. You're going to get kind of laughter and then a quick change of the subject, or you're going to get a very hostile reaction. And part of that is it's too close for comfort, right? Because the idea of Jesus, as you say, the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ, you know, tongue in cheek, the God of the Christians who sort of emerges from nowhere on the scene around 0 AD and invents a new religion is very comfortable if you're Jewish. But the idea of Jesus, a Jew, the Jewish Messiah, the promised Messiah and Savior of Israel, way too close for comfort. And yet it's essential not only to a Jewish understanding of the scriptures, but to our understanding of our own faith as Christians.
Sure. And I think that for Christians, Christians know that Jesus was Jewish, but it's sort of an afterthought. It's a historical fact. Jesus was Jewish. Sure, we know that's the context.
Right.
But the question really is deeper because it also tells us that Jesus brings a sense of identity with him mm-hmm. that affects the future as well.
That's right.
I'll say it this way. Not only was Jesus Jewish historically, he lived as a Jew, he died as a Jew, but he still has a Jewish identity through history. And in fact, he's identified as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah in heaven.
Right.
So we have to get used to this because it's part of our future reality as well.
Exactly. You just mentioned a proof text right there, right? Why does the Jewishness of Jesus matter for me now and why does it matter in the days to come? Revelation's very clear, right? John has this vision of the things to come and he sees a lamb looking as though he had been slain. And then it says in the same verse, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Yes.
Well, the Tribe of Judah is a part of the house of Israel.
Yeah, and the challenge for this is both with Jewish Jews and Christians.
Right.
Jews, again, the identity of Jesus as the God of Christianity is comfortable, but one of us who requires our attention, our allegiance, right?
Exactly.
A reaction from us to actually ask the question, is he in fact the Messiah that was promised in our own scriptures?
Right.
But then for the Christian, the idea is there's neither Jew nor Gentile, which is true for salvation, but Christian theology has moved away from the Jewish roots of the faith. And one of the purposes of this program is to help restore that to the church.
Exactly.
God wants fullness to come back to his people. And part of that is understanding the rich heritage that I want to avoid Christianity, but Christianity, not as an institution, but as a relationship is connected to.
Exactly.
Messiah is
Jewish. The ecclesia, we can say.
That's
a fancy
right.
Greek word for the body of believers, Jew and Gentile. The idea of the Jewishness of Jesus, as you said, isn't just important for Jews. It's essential for Christians to understand the context.
It's an important theme throughout. And if you really want to understand who Jesus is and what he says, you have to go back to this Jewish connection.
That's
to
right.
This Hebraic connection.
And, you know, maybe our audience is going, okay, that's an issue. I don't know if it's an important issue. Well, it's so important that Matthew begins his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus to prove to the reader, to the listener at that time, because it wasn't written anywhere yet, to prove to the hearer that Jesus was in fact Jewish and not just any Jew from the tribe of Judah.
Yes, he's from the tribe. He has to be his lineage on both sides, even though Joseph, he was born from a virgin.
Right.
The lineage of the father does matter also. Mm-hmm. So you have both Matthew and Luke giving us genealogies, separate genealogies that establish his biblical identity as the Messiah. That's required because the foundation for the new is the old.
Right, exactly. And the hearer of Matthew's gospel, his account of the good news of the Messiah, is going to say, if you don't convince me that this is the Jewish Messiah, I have no reason to listen any further. And yet here it is. And Jonathan, I know this was so central in your own testimony of coming to faith in Jesus and Yeshua. Matthew 1, it begins, the book of the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, Ben David, or the son of David, Ben Avraham, the son of Abraham.
Yeah, there's five names in here that were essential for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about this in my testimony as sort of the shock of seeing these five names, because I was expecting to read a book or a series of books, the New Testament, and find it. I was prepared for something that was completely unrelated to my heritage.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught that the New Testament was a Christian book for Christians. It was enemy territory, had nothing to do with me as a Jew.
Right.
And yet on the very first page, I see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham's the father of our people.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the father for Christians and for Muslims, but the promise is through his son Isaac, not Ishmael, and then Jacob, who becomes Israel,
mm-hmm.
and the 12 tribes of Israel.
This is
my territory.
Okay.
As a Jew, and I see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I was shocked.
Right.
And then further down, I see two other names, mm-hmm. David and Solomon. David was the greatest king in our history. Solomon built the temple. I knew these things. And when I saw these names, my immediate response is, what are they doing in the Christian Bible?
Hmm.
And then as I read on, I discovered how Jewish this was. But that this was gripping, Ezra. To see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, I knew that there was something about the New Testament that was very different than I had been taught, which is that it's not for me as a Jew. It is the most Jewish book I've ever read.
The most Jewish book indeed. You know, and I'm seeing the names you mentioned, Jonathan, these great forefathers of the faith, right? The forefathers of the Jewish people, kings, David, Solomon. And yet there's some names in here that are also part of Jewish history that maybe we're less proud of. You have Rahab. You have some of the sons of Solomon, you know, who were really responsible because of their disobedience and their own personal ambition and selfishness of the division of the kingdom of Israel into Israel and Judah, the northern and the southern kingdoms. And then, you know, these names, Jehoshaphat, right, and Uzziah, and Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and these kings whose lives were not exemplary in many
ways.
They
weren't, but they're part of the history.
They're part of the story.
What's so noteworthy is the detail that Matthew takes, and Luke, of course, takes to chronicle by name all the way through the generations.
Right.
Judah, of course, and Jesus had to be of the kingly line,
mm-hmm.
right? Because David is a type of the Messiah. And
that's
in
right.
detail, this is a lot of work. And it's detail to prove to the audience that this is the Messiah promised from the Jewish prophets.
Exactly. And
that's a lot of work, and it's very meaningful, and it was very meaningful to me, Ezra.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of even in the first five books of the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, right? How many of you, right, you do a Bible in the year and read through the Bible in a year, and by the time you get to February, March, you're in Numbers, and it's, oh my gosh, Lord, really? But why does it matter? Because the writers of the Old Testament, and here Matthew, the writer of the first of the Gospel in the New Testament, was concerned with establishing an unbroken story, right? From God's promise to bring a Savior through the line, through Eve, right? Her descendants would crush the head of the serpent, the enemy. An unbroken story all the way to the arrival
of
Jesus.
It's essential. Now, this is something that most Christians don't give thought to.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, for a Jewish person reading this, this establishes that this is, in fact, the promised Messiah, not another. And there's some teach that there's two Messiahs, a Jewish Messiah and a Christian Messiah. There's one name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Ezra, I think the other thing that jumped out at me after mm-hmm. this is verse 21,
mm-hmm.
which I think we need to
to look at and give some attention to this. Mm-hmm. Verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son, Miriam, of course, or Mary, will give birth to a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, that didn't mean anything to me until I followed the footnote, and it said Hebrew Yeshua. And as I studied it more, I came to understand that his name wasn't Jesus. His name was Yeshua, which means salvation. And in effect, what it's saying is you will call his name salvation, for he will save his people from their sins.
That's right.
That then it makes sense. Again, Hebraic Jewish, you have to understand how important the Jewish identity of Jesus is. And there's so many more examples.
Absolutely.
We're not going to be able to cover them all. There's so much to discuss. We're going to come back right after this message from our announcer. I want to ask you to consider what you can do today to help us share the good news of the gospel as we seek to meet the specific needs of the scattered and remote Jewish people wherever we find them. And if you would, please consider joining us as a monthly Shalom partner. Watch this short message to learn how you can get involved, and we'll be right back.
As Jonathan and Ezra are teaching today, discovering the Jewishness of Jesus will change your perspective on who Jesus really was and is. As you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a one-time gift today of $40, you'll receive Jonathan's intriguing book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth. You'll learn about Jonathan's personal encounter with a Jewish Jesus that changed his life. And you'll receive this 2-DVD set entitled The Deity of Messiah. It's a debate among biblical scholars you won't want to miss. As you make an ongoing commitment and become a new monthly Shalom partner with a gift of just $30 today, Jonathan and Ezra will also send you this beautiful silver necklace. The name of Jesus is uniquely shaped to form the Star of David. It's a distinctive piece of jewelry that will certainly open the door to conversations about your faith. Again, you'll receive all these resources as you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a gift of just $30 a month. Make sure to request the Messiah package when you join us as a monthly partner today. Call our 800 number now and let our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give online at jewishvoice.tv, or you can simply text JVMI to 474747. Thank you for making a difference in so many lives through your sacrifice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
Welcome back. Hey, before we get into our discussion of the Jewishness of Jesus and why it's so important, I want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to all of you who are supporting this ministry. Honestly, we could not do this work without you. You're making a real difference in the lives of so many. You have no idea. Jewish people in the remotest parts of the world. So thank you again for your generous giving, and especially for joining Jewish Voice as a monthly Shalom partner. Your ongoing support of this ministry is so valued.
Yeah, Jonathan, you know, you and I have both put boots on the ground, so to speak, in Africa, in Ethiopia, in Zimbabwe, in past years in India with the B'nai Menashe. And, you know, it's one of the greatest honors of being in Jewish ministry is to look these people in the eye, Jewish people and their neighbors who have so little and yet are content, but they're suffering. They're in physical need, and to be able to meet that need in the name of Yeshua. So I wish we could take all of you with us, but while we can't, thank you for sending us out to do that
work. Well, some of you can come. Ezra, yeah. I think this ties into the theme that we're talking about today, the Jewishness of Jesus. When we understand that Jesus was a Jew,
that's right,
that he came as a Jew, lived as a Jew, his disciples were all Jews, he told his disciples, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Mm-hmm. He loved the whole world, but his earthly mission was to his own people. That inspires Christians to understand the importance to the heart of God to see the Jewish people saved. And Paul introduces this again in Romans, where he says, I would give up my very salvation for my own people, the people of Israel. My heart's desire and prayer for them is that they might be saved.
That's right. I'm thinking of Romans 1:16, Jonathan, piggybacking on that, right? The gospel, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he says to the Romans, because it's the power of God unto salvation, unto Yeshua in Hebrew, for all who believe, first for the Jew, and also for the nations. And the word there in Greek, we talk about this a lot, is proton, not like nuclear energy, necessarily first. That the gospel, the good news of the Messiah, is necessarily first for the Jew. Not to the exclusion of anyone else, but there's a divine order in the providence and priorities of God of what he's doing in the earth.
We have to camp on this for a moment because it goes against almost 2,000 years of history,
sure,
which sadly has been very negative. There has been such a division between Judaism and Christianity as distinct religions. Mm-hmm. And you have a 2,000-year history of anti-Semitism, persecution, atrocities in the name of Christ and Christianity against Jewish people. That's demonic. That is a demonic effort to stop God's plan from being fulfilled, which is that those who receive the gospel, now almost entirely Gentiles, mm-hmm, are called back to the Jewish people to provoke them to jealousy and to put back in order to reestablish Romans 1:16, that the priority of the gospel is first to the Jew and then to the nations. This is not just historical.
Right.
This is not just sequential. This is not just saying, yes, the gospel first went to the Jewish people and then outward. This is a divine priority, a divine principle. Listen to me now. Don't check out that as the gospel goes to the Jewish people throughout the nations of the world, it releases something in the spirit.
That's right.
And I'm not making this up. Read Romans 11. It very clearly states in Romans 11:15, I want to put it up so you can see it, that their return, their restoration will bring life from the dead. When they rejected the Messiah, it brought the gospel to the world, but it says their salvation will bring life from the dead. So this goes back to this priority, Romans 1:16, that the gospel is the power of God to the Jew first and also for the nations. It's God's love for the world.
That's right.
That brings the gospel to the Jewish people.
That's exactly right. Some have said, Jonathan, that God so loved the world that he created Israel. It's not about us. It's not only about the Jewish people. It's not to the exclusion of anybody. It's not saying God has, you know, something for the Jews and others don't get anything. It's that he said, this is the order in which I've chosen to work in the world. And if you participate with me in it, you'll see life from the dead forever.
I know this is new to some of you, and you may be ready to change the channel. Don't.
Yeah.
My friend Raleigh Washington calls this the top button. It's top button gospel,
right?
Truth, that soteriology, another theological word, that the top button has to be in place to get the rest of the buttons to align. This is about alignment.
Right.
This is about God's heart for the world. As we bring the gospel to the Jewish people, it releases life from the dead.
And, you know, some people are maybe saying, okay, Paul was a Jewish believer. I see what he said in Romans. That's his interpretation. Let's go back to the Gospel of Matthew. We were there a few minutes ago. You know, this woman from the region of Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite woman, it says in Matthew 15, verse 21. So a non-Jewish woman has this issue. She says, have mercy on me, O Master, Son of David. So interestingly, she recognizes the Messiahship of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, even though she's not Jewish. Have mercy on me, my daughter's severely tormented by a demon. And Yeshua didn't answer her a word. And the disciples are confused. What's going on? Why doesn't he help this woman? We know he can. And in verse 24, Jonathan, it says, but Yeshua responded, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And maybe you've glazed over that, or maybe you've sort of ignored that verse because it's confusing. If you look at the Greek there, it actually says, I was sent not unless to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deeper understanding, right, than the word only. Only sounds like, oh, God's excluded non-Jewish people. No, he's saying, if the gospel wasn't first for Jewish people, if Jesus didn't come first to redeem Israel, then he couldn't have come at all.
And of course, he responds to her need, but a point is being made here,
right,
that I think that we need to heed and return to as the ecclesia, as the called out ones, as the body of Messiah. Hmm. And that's the understanding that we can't neglect the gospel going to the Jewish people. We have to reach them first to fulfill God's plan for the redemption of all mankind. What will happen when they come back? Life from the dead.
Life from the dead indeed. And we understand, you at home understand, we can't have life from the dead unless we have forgiveness for our sins, right? Being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And even that, how do we know that, right? You as a Christian are saying, yeah, of course, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Where does that come from? It comes from the Jewish scriptures, from the Jewish context of the idea of the reality of sin and the need for blood sacrifice, the need for a lamb to be sacrificed to cover our sins. Jonathan, I'm thinking of John 1. Again, right at the beginning of another one of the
good
Gospels.
Good choice.
Thank you. And yeah, verse 29, right? The next day, it talks about Yohanan the Immerser, or we can say in kind of Christianese, John the Baptist, right? This Jewish man saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And then it says in verse 29, the next day, John sees Yeshua coming to him and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I told you, he who comes after me is above me because he was before me. What's going on here?
Well, this is another great example of why the Jewish identity of Jesus is so important, because it makes no sense when you take it outside the context of the Old Testament and the Hebraic roots. What does Jesus have to do with the lamb? Well, we understand when we go back to Exodus chapter 12, and we have a very, very specific command from God when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, the final plague, the 10th plague, every household is to take a lamb without blemish, without spot. It's the gospel, by the way. And on the 14th day of the month, you're to take this one-year-old lamb in the prime of life, sacrifice the lamb, and then use the blood, take the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and put it on the doorposts.
Right.
And then enter in through that door that's covered with the blood of the lamb, and then eat the lamb that same night, that Passover lamb that's in the prime of life without spot or blemish. And when I see the blood, it goes on to say in Exodus chapter 12, I will pass over you and your household will be spared. That imagery is a picture of the later work of the Messiah. So Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Passover lamb. John, by the way, was the son of a priest. So he did this ritual year after year growing up and understood when he saw Jesus, this is the Passover lamb. And incidentally, the Last Supper was a Passover meal. You don't understand that until you understand the Jewishness of Jesus and the Jewishness of the New Testament.
That's right.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, it's really saying, behold the sacrifice given to us by God, because the purpose of a lamb in the Levitical system and the temple sacrifice system was that it would be slain for sin.
We could go on and on. This is so important.
Yeah.
But we need to take a short break so we can share some information about the special resources that we're making available to you this week. Also, I want to encourage you to become a monthly Shalom partner. Shalom means peace, and we're bringing peace to the Jewish people and their neighbors. So your monthly support will make all the difference for those in need. After this short message, Ezra and I are going to come back to join in prayer with you, because God hears and answers prayer. So don't go away.
As Jonathan and Ezra are teaching today, discovering the Jewishness of Jesus will change your perspective on who Jesus really was and is. As you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a one-time gift today of $40, you'll receive Jonathan's intriguing book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth. You'll learn about Jonathan's personal encounter with a Jewish Jesus that changed his life. And you'll receive this 2-DVD set entitled The Deity of Messiah. It's a debate among biblical scholars you won't want to miss. As you make an ongoing commitment and become a new monthly Shalom partner with a gift of just $30 today, Jonathan and Ezra will also send you this beautiful silver necklace. The name of Jesus is uniquely shaped to form the Star of David. It's a distinctive piece of jewelry that will certainly open the door to conversations about your faith. Again, you'll receive all these resources as you support Jewish Voice Outreaches with a gift of just $30 a month. Make sure to request the Messiah package when you join us as a monthly partner today. Call our 800 number now and let our representative know what level of giving you would like to participate in. If you prefer, you can always choose to give online at jewishvoice.tv, or you can simply text JVMI to 474747. Thank you for making a difference in so many lives through your sacrifice. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
We just have a minute left, but we try to devote some time in every program to pray for your needs because we believe in the power of prayer. Ezra, I'm going to ask you to lead us. We just have a few seconds, but there's so many needs that we're aware of coming
That's
in
right.
every day.
Yeah, people, send us your prayer requests, and please do send us yours. We pray for every one of them by name and according to your specific requests.
Thank
so
you,
we just join our faith, Jonathan, with those watching at home
Thank
today
you,
and say
yes.
that you, Lord, are able. In fact, you're
yes,
more
Lord.
Than able to accomplish that which concerns us
Thank
because
you,
it concerns
Lord.
You too. And so we lift up the needs of our brothers Thank and sisters you, watching at home today,
yes,
Lord. Financial needs, medical needs, family reconciliation needs, whatever it is, the mountains in our way, you're able to move. And so we join
yes.
our faith with theirs and thank you that you are the promise-keeping God
yes,
involved in the circumstances of our daily lives. And we pray that great testimonies would come through answered prayers
thank
for
you,
those
Lord.
Watching and for their families and
thank
communities
you, Lord.
In Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord, that nothing yeah. is impossible for you.
Amen.
Say it again. Nothing is impossible for you. Just say that with me and believe it.
Amen.
If you'd like more information about our ministry, I want to encourage you to go onto our website. Log on to our website. It's Jewish Voice, one word, jewishvoice.tv. You can also send us your prayer requests right on the website. We have a team here at Jewish Voice that's committed to praying over your needs by name. We believe in the power of prayer. We care about you, and most importantly, God cares about you. Well, as we close the program today, I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, "They will prosper that love thee." So if you want to prosper this week, here's a good piece of advice. Pray for Israel and the Jewish people. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness along with Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you. Hey, I want to make you aware of our new Jewish Voice mobile app, by the way. It's easy to download. You just enter My JVMI in your app store, and then you download it onto your device, and I hope you'll do it today.